Anyone who knows the Bible can see that there are two rests, at least, in the Bible. Oh, I don't mean the rest of heaven now. There are two rests in the Bible. For example, our Lord said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm going to ask you tonight to listen on purpose for a while, because your personality could completely be changed by the message tonight if you just listen very carefully. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That's the unsaved man. "Are you laboring? Quit it. Quit trying to save yourself. Trying to work your way to heaven? Lay down your load. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do anything that deserves heaven. You'll never, 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 never do anything that'll help you earn one step toward heaven. So just come unto me." And the Lord said, "If you just come to me, I'll give you rest." Now, "take my yoke upon you." Uh-oh. We just laid down our burden. Now he's going to ask us to take another burden. He said, "Come and I'll give you rest." Said, "Are you burdened, heavy laden?" Said, "Lay it down. Come to me." So I come to him. And good night, the first thing he does is push another yoke on the back. "Lay down a burden and get a burden." Says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." Good night. In verse 28 of Matthew 12, you find rest by laying down a burden, and in the next verse you find rest by taking up a burden. Strange, isn't it? It's not talking about the same rest. It's talking about two different rests. The first is the rest that a person gets when he comes to Christ and ceases from his own labors, quits trying to save himself and hold out faithful and hang on, endure to the end, and just completely relies in the finished work of Calvary to save him. That's the rest when you lay down your burden. But when a person is saved, now the first part of this teaching I preached on a Sunday morning a year or two ago. When a person is saved, then he gets another rest. How? By taking a burden on him. Now let's put it this way. I have a rest. I have peace. Why? Because I don't have to work? No, the truth is I have to work. I work hard. I carry a big load. But I have peace. I have rest. When a person is lost, he gets rest by laying down his burden. When a person is saved, he gets rest by taking up his burden. Christians who have the most peace are the Christians who work the hardest for God. Ones who take the yoke upon them. Now, there are two rests. One rest is free by grace. The second rest is earned. The unsaved man gets his rest free by grace. The saved man gets his rest by taking his yoke upon him and learning. The unsaved man gets his rest by not laboring. The saved man gets his rest by laboring. It is gotten by taking a burden if you're saved, by laying down a burden if you're unsaved. The old illustration that I've used here 20 times, I'm sure. Let's just say Ken Sprinkle over here marries Linda Thorley. They've already have. But I can recall those days. Linda used to come to my office and we'd talk and you'd say, "I want to marry Ken." I'd say, "Don't marry that bum. Good night, good night." And you went ahead and married him anyway. That's not quite the true story. But anyway, she'd come. Linda, did you work before? Are you working now? Uh-huh. You're not working now. Where did you work before? Where? Where'd you work when you got married? The bank? At the bank. And so you quit work when you got married and you're not working. You see what I'm getting at? What'd you do at the bank? Type? A teller at the bank. Okay, now what does she do? She's not working now. She has how many children? Two children. And so she gets up in the morning and she fixes breakfast. And she gets the kids' lunch ready. And she wipes dirty noses. And she does the washing. And she washes the dishes. And she irons shirts. And she waxes the floors, and she cleans the table, and she mows the yard, and so forth. But notice what she said. She's not working now. She's not working now. Now why? Because when she got married, she laid down her burden. And oh, she said, "Lad, when she didn't have to work at the bank anymore, what bank did you work at?" Citizens Federal. And what a good day it was. I don't have to work anymore. And now then, but you get married. Now what does she have? She's found rest by caring for the children and washing the dishes and washing and ironing and sweeping and mopping and taking care of the kitchen floors. By the way, you always use Johnson's glow coat on that. And taking care of the kitchen floors, and so forth. What is it? Are you working now? No, I'm not working now. Why? Because she has peace in her work. Used to, she'd look at the clock. Now she she's forgotten there is a clock. Used to, couldn't wait till 5 o'clock. She'd get home. I'm sorry, a banker. 1:30. Forgive me, my brother. But anyway, used to, she couldn't wait till the time to go home. Get out of here. I want to go home. But now she enjoys her work. What is it? Because when you're in love, you see, then you find rest by taking a yoke upon you. Now into the message. People ask me several questions along this line. Pastor, how do you keep your sanity when so many folks don't like you? I'm going to tell you tonight. You know, there are 3 folks in town that don't like me in every block. every house. But nobody is hated as much as I'm hated in Hammond. You know that's true. Nobody's loved as much as I'm loved. But nobody is hated as much as I'm hated in Hammond. Nobody gets criticized as much as I do. Nobody gets the dirty mail that I get. Nobody gets cussed like I get cussed. Well, preacher, what keeps you from going berserk? Tranquilizers. But how do you take it? How do you take it? I'll tell you how I take it. I've learned something about a rest I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Well, how do you get done all you do? Your mind's constantly on something. I know it. Constantly it is. How do you take it? I've learned about a rest I'm going to talk to you about tonight. I'm just going to chat with you for a while, and if you like preaching, I'll preach. But I want you to listen very carefully, because, ladies, gentlemen, young people, you may, if you will follow this message tonight, you may never again hate anybody as long as you live. You may never again say, I just don't like her. You can be cured of that. Really, you can. He'll never like being hated, but it won't ruin his life. He can work and go from one thing to another. He won't ever hold any hard feelings anymore. He won't ever dislike anybody anymore. He won't ever hate anybody anymore. There's a peace, there is a rest into which you can enter. Every person, every rescue mission man, every sailor, every high school person, every college person, every senior citizen, every little child, there is a rest into which you can enter. The first thing is a rest from working with self. Now what I mean by that, listen carefully, a rest from working with yourself. Young folks, no talking. Now, I called down the same couple 4 Sundays in a row, the girl with the striped thing, and I'm going to call your names the next time I see you talking. And so it's a rest from working with yourself. You know, man by nature wants to do what he wants to do. Now, follow me carefully. Man by nature wants to do what he wants to do. How many young folks say to me, well, it's my life. It's my life to live, and I can do what I want to do. Yep, you're right. It's your life. And you can do what you want to do. The hippies are. The dope heads are. The alcoholics are. The Hollywood stars are. They're doing what you may. It's your life. If you want to do what you choose to do, what you want to do, or want to do what you choose to do, you can do it. But now, wait a minute. When a person gets saved, he enters into a controversy with his God. There's something inside of him that says, do what God wants you to do. But there's the old nature that says, I'm still my own. I have a right to do what I want to do. And there's a controversy between God and a person. Now, every person who's ever been saved has that controversy. Listen to me. When a person gets saved, the old nature is not eradicated. And the old nature wants to have his way just like he always wanted to have his way. Now listen to me. Until you get to the place to where you rest from that controversy. Are you listening? Rest from that controversy. You're not going to have what the Bible talks about when it talks about this kind of a rest. Now I want to philosophize for a minute. No two things made for each other are ever happy. I'm sorry, every fruitful are happy without each other. Let's take oil and fire. Let's take peanut butter and crackers, or cheese and but no two things that are made for each other can be happy apart. Now I'm talking about elements now, not people right now, elements. And no two things that are made for each other can be happy with each other unless the inferior yields to the superior. Let me reword that. Unless the weak yields to the strong. Now, when a person is saved, he's been going where he wants to go, saying what he wants to say, doing what he wants to do, being what he wants to be, making his own decisions. I'll do this, and I'll do this, and this is what I want. He gets saved. And God says, I'd like to tell you what to do. Now listen. You were made for God. But no two things will ever be happy with each other unless the one who is the superior, unless the one who is inferior yields to the superior. Now listen, here, let me give you an idea. Woman's lip. It won't work. It will not work. Women's liberation cannot work. Why? Because the woman is the weaker vessel. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. Whether you like it or not, it's true. The women of America will not be happy when they get their equal rights with men. Why? Because woman was made to be in subjection. Woman was... Take a church. A church that's run by women will not be a happy church. You take the matter of a child. The child is the happiest who obeys his mother and father. A child was made to obey his parents. The happiest kids in this section over here tonight or anywhere in this room, the happiest teenagers in this room are those teenagers who obey their parents. Listen, say again, nothing or nobody is happy unless he is in submission to that which rightly has authority over him. No other way to be happy. Listen, no women's group or ladies will have happiness with women's liberation. No way to do it. It's against every law of God. No city is happy unless it yields to the laws. No church is happy unless the pastor has his rightful authority. No child is happy unless he obeys his parent. There's no way in this world. Let's take the matter of a horse. I've often said to me, the most beautiful things in the world are a horse and a woman, in that order. But, to say the least, take a horse. Now, how many of you have ever broken a horse? Ever broken a horse? Now, you know as well as I know that horse, when he is broken, enters into a rest. And he never is happy. He is never content. He is never at rest until he is broken. Why? Because a horse was made to be controlled by man. The horse was made as man's servant. And when a horse is not in subjection to the person, to the creation that was made to be his master, he never has any rest. Now, that means, ladies and gentlemen, if you want the perfect rest that Hebrews is talking about, you'll have to come to the place to where you rest from your controversy with God. You'll say, Dear Lord, I won't argue with you anymore. I won't fight you anymore. I won't try to do what I want to do anymore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as long as you try to fight God, you'll never have this kind of rest. If you can get the place like a horse that's being ridden, and the slightest touch of the bridle, and the horse will turn right. And the slightest pull this way, and the horse will turn left. Exactly what the master says to do is what the horse does. The horse has found rest. The horse has found peace. Now, any follower can only find that kind of rest when he yields himself to that authority which is his superior. But children, I said again, if you want to have rest, you'll have to obey parents. There must be obedience by the follower if the follower is to get rest. Now, enough for that. Number two. You want to find this rest of Hebrews? A rest from working from self. What do I mean? I mean working in your own energy. I can recall those early days of preaching when I first began preaching. I'll tell you, boy, I wanted to be a good preacher so bad. It was pitiful. And I fought absolutely like a rebellious horse that wasn't broken. I fought to be a good preacher. Now, for example, I am enjoying preaching. I always enjoy preaching. Anybody here think I'm tense right now? Fire, am I shaking? Anybody tonight think I'm nervous, about to crack up? No. I am as much at home tonight as you ladies are when you're at your kitchen sink. Or men, as the case may be. Honestly. My blood pressure, I'm sure, would not be any higher right now than it was before I stood up or before I came to church today. Why? I'm not fighting it. I'm not fighting it. I had no desire tonight. I had no foreplans, no plans or prepared plans as to how I was going to preach. I didn't say tonight, I'm gonna wave my hands and I'm going to get with it and I'm going to... I just said, now, Lord, I'm going to preach this and I'll take my orders as to how I preach it from you. Have you ever noticed? Sometimes I'll preach loud and scream all the way through. Sometimes I'll wave my hands, beat the pulpit! Sometimes I'll just sort of chat a while. You know why? The old colored fellow down south had the idea, sort of, when somebody said, how do you get along so well with your members? And he said, I just put myself in neutral, and whichever way they push it, I goes. Now, if he had said God there instead of his members, he'd have the idea. Look, when a person is yielded to God, not to try to force his own labor, but he says, dear God, I have a message you've given me. I'm going to preach it. Now I'll preach it in the way that you instruct me. And I'll preach it like you instruct me. And I'll preach it with the degree of fervor that you give me. Then a person can step behind the pulpit and yield himself to the Spirit of Christ. And he can have a rest while he preaches. I can recall when I used to preach, I'd be preaching and I'd say, man, I'm not with it. I'm known as a fireball. I'm not fireballing enough. I'm sort of a snowball instead of a fireball. What's wrong? The folks won't think I'm very good. And one day it dawned on me that my job was to present myself to him and present his message however he led me to present it. Look, energy, work done in the energy of the flesh is fretful work. No rest there. When a person comes to a place in his life where he says, I will work in him. I will yield myself to him. I will obey his leadership. Now bear in mind, in the first point, it is the fact that I'll go where he says go. I'll be what he says be. I'll live where he says live. I'll want what he wants. I'll not fight him anymore. But now, did you know, when you get to that point, sometimes you can turn around and in your desire to do well for him and serve him where he wants you to serve him, you can fight and not yield yourself to let him work through you. And so it's a rest from working from self. I can recall when I used to get through preaching, I'd be so tired. And by the way, there's not a reason in this world why a preacher ought to be tired when he gets through preaching. Not a reason. I go to the pulpit time and time again. When I am so tired, I can hardly walk the pulpit and walk away with a spring in my step. Why? Preaching regenerates itself. Nobody will be tired when he gets through preaching. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I've preached over 3.5 sermons a day for 16 years. For 16 years. And I hardly ever get tired. I get tired sometimes from counseling. I get tired sometimes from business. I get tired sometimes from committee meetings. I get tired sometimes from problems. I get tired sometimes from... at a deacon's meeting, we have a lot to discuss and care for, but a preacher ought not to ever get tired from preaching. Why? I mean, just yield yourself and say, here I am. I'll do the way you want it done. I'll be what you want me to be. And you'll be surprised. I can recall when I used to preach a couple times, and I'd lose everything in my stomach. By the way, most of you need to lose everything in your stomach because it's garbage you put in it, but I'd lose everything in my stomach, and I'd be just a nervous wreck. And one day I found that if a person who serves God in the energy of the Holy Spirit of Christ and this strength comes from Him, and the help comes from Him, and the power comes from Him, and the way comes from Him, a person need not get a great deal tired. Now listen, you know as well as I know. I was out in the driveway. I had an old Ford. I think I told you this story, and I've also told you that God has forgiven me for having owned a Ford. But I had an old Ford, and our driveway circles. It comes out like this and circles. And there was snow on the ground, and it was fresh snow, and I had to get somewhere, and so I backed out, but I didn't circle enough, and the back wheel got off the driveway and in the snow. And so I gunned it, and I did not quote, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." I didn't go anywhere and burned up the clutch to the car. Now, we'll forget it because Brother Jim Lyons came by. Just after I'd burned the thing up, you could smell it burning. He said, "Preacher, won't you get some snow tires?" I said, "I can't afford snow tires." I said, "You got any?" "Yeah." "Where'd you get them?" He said, "Mr. and Miss Clifton gave them to me. And I wanted to kill the Cliftons and the Lyonses. Anybody else had gotten my way. I burned out a clutch." Now, what happened? What happened? The car was straining, and it's not meant to strain. Burned out the clutch and didn't get out of the driveway. You can drive a car 125,000 miles, not burn a clutch out, if you drive it like it's supposed to be driven. But when you drive it against the grain and exert the energy you shouldn't exert and all the friction that shouldn't be experienced, then what happens? The car burns out. And a lot of Christians burn out when they shouldn't burn out because they're working in the energy of the flesh and not in the energy of the Holy Spirit. You won't get so tired if you yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Last thing I said before I came over here tonight, every Sunday in my study, fellows leave and I stay a few minutes after they leave. And I say, "Now, Lord, I yield myself tonight as a vessel to You. I do not ask You to make me a good preacher, but I ask You to make me a yielded preacher. And I pray that God will work through me tonight as I speak." So if I preach a good sermon or a bad sermon, that isn't the issue. The issue is the Spirit of God doing the work. Listen, that rest I'm talking about is a rest from working from self. Number three, it is a rest from working for self. I'm going to stay here a while. It is a rest from working for self. You will never enter into this rest of Hebrews until you quit working for yourself. One of the greatest verse, one of the great verses in the Bible, if not the greatest for a Christian, is 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Now listen to me. A Christian's got to come to the place where it doesn't matter where he lives. Brother Vineyard, did you hear that? A Christian's got to come to the place where it doesn't matter where he lives. Honestly. I'm kidding when I say that to you. I'm not preaching this to you. But the truth is there. You can't have this rest and it matter where you live. I recall when we first came to Hammond, it mattered to me where I live. It mattered to me. I wanted to live in Texas. I was born and reared in the Holy Land right between Dallas and Fort Worth. And I wanted to live in Texas. I wanted to spend my... I'd sing, "Wherever He leads in Texas, I'll go. Where He leads me in Texas, I will follow." I came to Hammond. I didn't want to stay. And for 16 months, I had no rest. No rest. You'll never have rest as long as you have a desire. You work for yourself. "I want to serve God where I want to serve God." Now, that can't matter. It's got to be, "I want to serve God where He wants me to serve Him." That means if He wants me to have a little church out in the country, that's okay. If He wants me to have a big church, you see, that takes the flesh out of it. That takes all the flesh. If all the work I do for God is in the energy of the Holy Spirit, then I have no praise coming, right? If all the work I do for God is... Listen. If I yield to the Holy Spirit and say, "Dear God, I yield to Your Spirit," and God makes me pastor of the largest Sunday school in the world, and a fellow out here in Milford, Illinois, little town Milford, Illinois, say, he yields to the same Spirit of God, and God makes him pastor of the smallest Sunday school in Illinois. Who's the greatest? Neither. It takes away prestige. It takes away pride. It takes away conceit. It takes away greatness. If the great thing is just to be where He wants me to be. So, I want to live, now forgive me, two or three families in the church are considering buying farms, and I'm not preaching to you. I didn't think about this till right now. I'm not preaching to you. But somebody says, I can't be happy. I can't be happy in the downtown area. I'll tell you, all of this soot and all this smoke, I've got to move out and get me a farm, or I'm not going to be happy. No, you won't be happy on the farm either. Your problem is not where you live. Your problem is you've not entered into that perfect rest yet. You've never gotten the place yet to where you can be happy without prestige, or happy without a nice house, or happy breathing soot instead of fresh air. I mean, you've got to come to the place, if you enter this rest, where you say, it doesn't matter where I am, I'll rest in His will where He wants me to be. And that's why you can say, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? Doesn't matter. Listen, circumstances never made anybody happy. They only cause folks to fret and not to rest. When you get the place to where circumstances don't matter, then you're about to enter into that perfect rest. Let's go a step further. Doesn't matter where I live. It also doesn't matter what praise I get. What praise I get. Preacher boys, listen to me. I used to worry so much about whether I did good or not. And I preach with a lot of people. I preach and have for years with the greatest preachers alive. I have shared platforms with the greatest preachers in the world. It used to worry me sick because I was afraid I could not preach some of them. I can recall the first Sword of the Lord conference I ever had. John Rice asked me to come, and you've heard me tell this. I shared the platform with R.G. Lee, and he preached Payday Someday, and then they introduced me. My sermon looked like never a sermon needed a B-12 shot as badly as mine did. I was preaching on the autopsy of a dead church. And I said, Lord, perform a miracle. Like, kill me. Or something. I thought I had to out-preach him. I mean, I thought that folks when they went home would say, I like Hiles better than I like Lee. And I used to, if somebody really preached good before I preached, I didn't like it. And I had no rest. I was fretting all the time. I take off for Canton, Ohio tomorrow. And I was in Michigan last week. I preach all across this country. Now, let's face it, there are going to be some nights when I'm not going to be as good as I am other nights. And that's not very good. I mean, when I'm off, it's really off. But there are going to be some times. Now, let's face it. And I can recall when I would preach a sermon, if I did not think I did my best, I'd slip out the door during the closing prayer and hide and cry. I wouldn't shake anybody's hand. I have hitchhiked. You won't believe this. Dr. Jack Hiles, I have hitchhiked to my motel room so I wouldn't have to face the fellows going to take me back to my room. Why? I didn't preach as good as I ought to preach. I didn't have any rest. I just like you are. I need some, what's that stuff you take when you're cracking up? I just nervous as a wreck. Huh? What's that stuff you're taking? Look in your purse and check it and let me know. I heard Oliver Green say one night, pills, pills, pills. Everybody has to have pills. Everybody has to have pills. But you know what I'm talking about. And I was a nervous wreck. Now listen to me. One day it dawned on me, blessed be the day, that God had a purpose for me everywhere I preached. And if John the Baptist preached before me and God wanted me to preach after John the Baptist got through, there's something that needed to be done John couldn't do that Ohio's could. A lot of things John the Baptist can't do, I can. Laugh. But what I'm saying is that it dawned on me. So now what do I do? If I preach, when Dr. R.G. Lee preaches before I do, I used to say, uh-oh, he's doing too good. Lord, don't let him do so good. It's going to be awful tough when I get up. And now I just say, Lord, take him to the sky. Let him tickle an angel's wing. Dr. Tom Malone preached it before I do. I said, Lord, turn him loose. I used to say, oh my, he's going to preach better than I do. Toil, turmoil, unrest. And then one day it dawned on me, 'tis the yielding to the Spirit of God. Rest, doesn't matter how much praise I get anymore. What matters? Working for Him, not working for me, working for Him. Doesn't matter where I live, doesn't matter what praise I get, it doesn't matter about fun when you work for the Spirit, you enter into this perfect rest. Doesn't matter about fun. I can recall when I was a, and this long line I preached on this morning, I can recall when I was a kid preacher, I used to say, let's see, I've worked 40 hours this week and I don't get paid but $7.50 a week. And I deserve some rest. I deserve to play. And I can recall where I would worry about cracking up. And you know, I almost cracked up worrying about cracking up. I can recall almost cracking up worrying about how I was going to get relaxation. Listen. And I can recall when I used to take some time for relaxation, and if the telephone would ring, or if I was playing ping pong and a ball would break, it always breaks when I'm behind, but the ball would break, I'd say, how am I going to get rest? I've got to get my relaxation. I might have a heart attack. I might have a nervous breakdown. I've got my rights. I've got a right to have a good time. I have a right to play around the lot. I don't have a right at all. I just have a right to work for Him. That's all the right I have. Just work for Him. Doesn't matter how much fun. I didn't have any rest that way. You enter into the perfect rest when you say, I don't work for myself. I work in. It doesn't matter if I'm hated or not. Now this gets down to my introduction. It doesn't matter if I'm hated or not. Now listen to me. If the Holy Spirit leads me tonight to say something that nobody in this room likes and everybody here hates me, am I supposed to say it? Will I have more rest if I say it or not say it? So the secret, then let me ask you this question. Should I lose some sleep tonight because you don't like me if I say what the Spirit of God says I ought to say? Should I lose some sleep? No. Why? Because when you enter into this perfect rest, it does not greatly matter anymore whether folks hate you or not. And don't misunderstand me. I still don't like to be hated. And I still don't want folks to hate me. But there's something. But I found this. I'll have more rest being hated and obeying the Holy Spirit and working for Him than I will being loved and not obeying the Holy Spirit. There is a rest. Listen, I have stood in that building over there before it burned. I have stood there when I did not know. Well, some of you folks, you've seen people leave the pew and come up to the platform to get me right over there where I preach in this church. You've seen it. I recall one night when one of our men tackled a fellow. The fellow was coming up to get me. And this aisle over here, it was over that building, right aisle. Fellow's coming down the aisle to get me. And one of our men in this room tonight, probably, he tackled him and said, you're not going to get him. I said, amen. Amen. It's all under my breath. I didn't know anybody's name much. Good night. The name church role at this church in those days looked like the Notre Dame football team. I'll never forget Notre Dame play. Came down to Texas and played SMU. I thought, how could any human beings have names like that? For SMU, right tackle, Jones. Notre Dame, opposite tackle, Huskovuchki. Right tackle for SMU. A right end for SMU, Smith. Left end for Notre Dame, Loskanowski. I didn't know what a Pollock was in those days. Oh, happy day. But anyway, I didn't know. But listen. I have stood over there not knowing your names and wondering if somebody would get me. I heard a man get up one morning and holler, Khrushchev! Walk out the back door. And yet, I have gone home night after night with a peace of God in my soul, because I knew I said what the Spirit of God wanted me to say. What is it? It's a rest. Perfect rest.
Rest of what?
Not working for myself.
Doesn't matter if I'm hated. I'm saying you ought not to want to be hated, but you ought to be able to have rest if you are. You ought to want folks to love you, but you ought to have rest if they don't. It's not wrong for you to rather live in one type house than another, but you ought to have rest if you live in the house you wouldn't prefer. Doesn't matter. Why? It's Him I work for. It's Him who gives me strength. It's Him who leads me. It's Him who empowers me. It's Him I want to please. If I please Him, that's the rest I'm talking about.
I work for Him. It's a rest from working for self. I was tired. I used to fret. When the crowd was down, I used to fret. Then I could look out at the crowd and see it was down, and I could say, oh, we're having a church split. Or the rapture's coming. I'm left. But that, honestly, God being my witness, I believe I can preach to 50 people with the same fervor now I could preach to 5,000. You know why? I'm working for Him. If He wants me to preach to 50 people, I'll preach to 50. If He wants me to have 5,000, I'll preach to 5,000.
Doesn't matter. Why? I work for Him. Where I live, doesn't matter.
Where does He want me to live?
My praise, doesn't matter.
He knows how much praise I need.
Criticism, doesn't matter.
He knows if I need some criticism. Rest. Rest. A rest from working for self. Now let me say this. This will stop your hurt feelings. It'll stop your fights. It'll stop your criticism. It'll stop your jealousy. Listen to me. If somebody misbehaves towards you, does you wrong, it won't matter. The Lord knows. Don't you recall when David was fleeing his throne and Absalom was back in the palace, and David was running from his own son, his men were at war with the men of Absalom, his own son's forces against his, and David leaves the throne, leaves the palace rather than fight with his own son. And Shimei, that wicked Shimei, for whom David had done much and whom David had helped, that ungrateful, wicked Shimei gets some stones and throws stones at David and gets some dust and hurls the dust at David. And David's servant Abishai said, let me draw my sword and chop his head off. David said, don't do that. No, don't do that. Maybe the Lord sent him. Maybe the Lord knew I needed somebody to heckle me today. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? That'll keep you from being, have your feelings hurt. David could have said, anybody I hate, it's Shimei. Can't stand Shimei.
Shimei is lying about me. Shimei said, yeah, you're the one that killed Abner. You're the one that killed Abner. You're guilty of killing Abner. You dead dog, you.
If that had been you or me, we'd have said, well, that's not fair. He's lying about me. He's trying to stone me, and I'm honest, and I haven't done anything wrong, and I ought to be on the throne. I'm running away right now to keep from fighting my own son, and I'm sincere, and God knows I'm sincere. And he's lying about me, and I know it. Nobody likes it. But there's a way it doesn't worry you a great deal, because David had entered into a perfect rest. If you'd ever get to the place to where you'd say, I'm going to let the Spirit of God control my life. I'm going to work with Him. I'm going to work from Him. I'm going to work for Him. And that means if somebody doesn't treat me kindly, I need that. And I'll not get mad at them. God is allowing them to give me what I need. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever get mad at anybody when you knew they needed it and you didn't want to? Huh? Well, a little girl came to my office a few days ago. She's in trouble at school. She came to my office, bless her heart, and she's been terrible. She's been a little stinker. I mean, a little rascal. I mean, she's acting like a female. And she came to my office, and her mother and dad said so-and-so about her. And I said, no, I can't believe that. And I began to cry. And she began to pucker. And I said, I'm ashamed of you. Now, I didn't want to bawl that little girl out. I didn't want to scold her. I love her. But I loved her enough I had to scold her. And I said, I'm ashamed of you. What a very idea. I ought to kick you out of my office.
Don't kick me out of your...
That's not easy to do. Office. In fact, I'm not ever going to do it again. Now, did you know? Boys on the back row, sit still. Put your hands off each other. Did you know she needed it? Do you know sometimes the dear Lord lets some long-tongued gossip, like the lady that came down the altar aisle and said, Pastor, I put everything on the altar except my tongue, and I can't get my tongue on the altar. He said, Sister, this altar is 20 feet long, but if your tongue needs more space, we'll enlarge it. If some long-tongued sister, as my pastor, Brother Sizemore, used to say, can sit on the front porch and lick the skillet in the kitchen without moving. Hadn't thought of that in years. That's what my pastor used to say. If some long-tongued sister's after you and she decides to spread a bunch of... Don't fret about it. Rest. The Lord knows what you need. Maybe you would pray more. Maybe you'll cast yourself on Him more. Do you know when I preach my best sermons? Honestly, when God uses the sermons best. When I'm exhausted and I feel like I can't make it. And I walk up here and I say, Dear God, if you don't give me strength tonight, I'm not going to be able to make it. And when I'm weak, He can use me. Huh? I put myself in neutral. You see, when I'm weak, that's one reason God can use a little fella more than a big fella. There's not so much talent. It makes him want to drive his own way. That's why God can use a fella who doesn't have as much many gifts as a fella who has more gifts, because there's not the obstacle in the way that makes him want to go his own way. God uses people who say, I'm nothing. You're everything. I must decrease. You must increase. All to you I yield and surrender. And then God uses. That's why God can use the base things of the world to confound the wise. That's why God uses little old nitwits sometimes. And that's why some of you big, you Hiles Anderson students said, ah, you're the big boys. I don't mean big physically, but you got a big personality. Boy, you can wow them. That's why a lot of you are going to end up pastoring church out Lee Tot, and the corner of Lee Tot and Possum Trot Valley. And that's why some of you fellas who come to your school and you said, I don't know if I can make it or not, but dear God, I want to be what you want me to be. And Lord, I don't know how to preach, and I don't know how to organize a church. And you sit up and take notes at class, and everything the teachers say, you're just like a little bird with your mouth open waiting for a worm to fall in. And you say, oh, I've got to get all the help I can get. I've got to do it. And you walk up to preach, and you say, oh, God, I've got to have help. I'm just afraid I'm not going to know what I'm going to say. And all of a sudden, He who can work through you and in you and with you takes over. Then God begins to use you. Work for self. When you rest from working for yourself, then you know something about this perfect rest. Listen to me tonight. Girls, be still in the front. Listen to what I'm saying. Hey, put the things up. Listen to me. Decide the next time somebody speaks ill of you to say, the Lord sent them to me and allowed it because I needed it. Decide the next time you want to get mad at somebody because they don't treat you like they ought to treat you. Decide you're not going to fight back because the dear Lord let that come in your way. Every morning get up and say, Holy Spirit of Christ, I yield today to do your work in your way, at your place, with your power. And I'll do my best to be sensitive to your leadership. And if you push, I'll follow. If you pull, I'll follow. Every tug is my desire. And you'll be amazed how much more rested you'll be. That in the Bible is called a Sabbath. Did you know a lot of you folks that say, oh, I've got to rest one day a week? That's one Sabbath, but there's a Sabbath in the Bible. This rest right here is called a Sabbath. It comes from the word Sabbath. There is a constant perennial Sabbath that a Christian can enjoy if he works for the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit. That's one reason why I can take you when folks don't like me. That's why I can read a lot of nasty letters. Now, I never enjoy them. But I can read them, walk in the pulpit the next Sunday, and try to preach somewhat normally. I've learned a little bit how to rest. In closing, number four, it's a rest from working by self. By self. I know what it is to work by yourself. Alone. To me, one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. I got it years ago when I was at college. The students preached it at a preacher boys class when I was in college, or a club of preacher boys. And a preacher named Ralph Bolin preached it. Ralph Bolin? Yes, Ralph Bolin preached it. And he preached on this scripture. We are laborers together with God. Man, that knocked me off the cherry tree. Is that what you get knocked off? Apple tree? Anyhow, whatever tree I was up, I got knocked off of it. Laborers together with God. Hey, the night! I'm not alone here in the pulpit. He's here! And I go tomorrow to Canton, Ohio, and I stand and preach. I'll not be alone. I am laborers together with God. He works through me and in me to perform His perfect will as I yield myself to Him and rest in Him and don't work for myself or worry about who likes me or hates me or worry about whether I'm popular or unpopular or worry about whether I preach good or preach bad. God wants me to preach a bad sermon. I want to preach a bad sermon. Well, time and time again, I've stuttered in a sermon and couldn't absolutely stuttered and complained to God because I stuttered and wasn't doing very well. And the Lord is simply telling me, I'm not going to let you think of that illustration. I've got another one I want you to tell because somebody there needs it. What am I saying? I'm saying, if you'd ever get to the place where you just say, if we would, just say, I'm not working in my own strength. I'm not working for my own self. I'm just working to please Him. Just to please Him. Have you ever done something that was hard to do and you knew you didn't want to do it? I've gone back to my study night after night, and I really felt like most everybody was mad. But I knew I had done what I ought to do. I knew I'd been yielding to the Spirit of God. And I knew I didn't do it for myself. I knew I did it for Him. And a sweet peace has settled on my soul. I think that's what Paul was talking about when he said, there's a perfect rest. Folks get mad at you, you don't fight back. Folks criticize you, you don't get mad. Folks slander you, you don't retaliate. Folks attack you, you don't seek vindication. You just keep on trying to serve Him who deserves all the praise and all the glory, and do it in the energy of His Spirit, being very susceptible to the slightest tug by the Spirit of truth. And then you know what it is to rest. The only problems I have, and I still have them, the only problems I have are those problems that come when I want my way, when my feelings are hurt, when I wasn't treated properly, when I didn't get enough praise, when I got criticized, and I began to spin the wheels. Spin the wheels. And you come to the place to where you just say, dear Holy Spirit of God, there's a place you want me to be, and there's a thing, a task you want me to do. And I'll be where you want me to be, doing what you want me to do in the way that you lead me to do it. And come what may, I'll accept it. Paul calls it the perfect rest. Let us pray.